Chapter 10.
Fuck!
I breathed as I peered around at the tragic sight, and my entire body shook as the gravity of the situation slammed down on me. This library had once been an amazing place with impressive wall-to-ceiling shelves arranged in a spiraling labyrinth that held identical black leather-bound books. I'd found myself intimidated the last time I'd stepped foot in this place. But this time around, I felt a different type of dismay. Sticky webbing hung like curtains from wall to wall, and each dripped with the same green mucus the Athenids had secreted from their mouths. The webs spiraled in a similar fashion as normal spiders, only some had a rounded shape that almost resembled a dome. Nests, I realized, and a shiver ran down my spine. It only made sense that the monsters would take up residence in the library. After all, they needed somewhere to prepare their brood. And what other place was more perfect than a sprawling room in an unoccupied palace? The enormous shelves were in a complete state of disarray. Some were toppled over, smashed in, and broken, while others were simply askew. A few of them remained standing, but the wooden tops of the shelves where the webs were wrapped around for support had started to break down. And if I had to venture a guess, I would say the acidic quality of the webs were to blame. The wood was weathered and damaged, and they didn't look like they had long until they would suffer the same fate as the shelves piled around them. As for the books, every last volume was destroyed. All of them were plucked from their shelves and flung to the floor like they were nothing. Thick piles of torn white pages rose high into the air, and amongst them I spied scrawls of texts that were now rendered unreadable. A foul, slightly burnt aroma wafted around the entire room, and I was almost brought to tears. We'd been so close, and now, thanks to those disgusting monsters, we would never know if the right book had been here all along. I almost wanted Zan to raise those monsters from the dead, just so I'd have a chance to kill them all over again. The umber-skinned Arkan must have sensed I was thinking of her, because she suddenly ran into the library.
Griff, what's wrong?
She began to ask, but the goddess's face fell as she took in the sight of the room, and her full dark lips formed an O of surprise as she shook her head back and forth.
Oh no.
I expelled the breath I'd been holding, and with it, the last bit of hope I had. It's all gone, I muttered as I stared at a pile of acid-eaten pages. Every last thing. If it wasn't torn to shreds, the Athenid's mucus burned through it. There's nothing here that seems salvageable.
All of these books just destroyed.
Zan shook her head in disbelief.
Who knows what kind of histories are now lost forever?
Don't remind me, I sighed. We're so fucked, Zan. I know a lot of these books were unreadable, but that entire shelf of books we needed is likely gone forever because of those Athenids.
Hey, what's taking you so long in...
Sarah called out. And then the dark angelic Arkan had the exact same reaction as her sister.
Oh. Oh, no.
That's the understatement of the century, I sighed.
After the display downstairs, I can't be too shocked that those monsters could inflict so much damage. But this is insane,
the dark winged Arkan murmured.
Is everyone all right in here?
Keela's voice called out, but when the skeletal Arkan entered the room with Huna and Fi at her side, she reacted with the same level of shock.
Oh, wow. They built their home here.
Yeah, I replied with little emotion in my voice. Based on the number of nests and the way some of these webs are digging into the top of the shelves, I would guess they've been here a while, which explains why they're so hostile and difficult to control. They thought we were invaders coming to destroy their homes.
I would have destroyed it in front of them if I knew this is what we were going to find in here,
Fi groaned. Huna let out a low breath as her sterling eyes followed one of the slimy Athenid webs down to the marble floor.
If I thought Karth was upset before, I can't even imagine how angry she's going to be when she sets her eyes on all of this. She spent so long in this library, it was practically a second bedroom to her.
No!
Karth wailed as she burst into the study with Mira Lee, Viopa, and Utuni close behind her. The Arkan's eyebrows furrowed, and her russet eyes glowed with a powerful intensity as she clenched her fists at her sides.
How could this have happened?
Garth.
Zan attempted to comfort her sister.
What's done is done.
How is this fair?
Karth growled anyway.
I spent so much time ensuring this place would be restored to its former glory. And yet here it is, the site of such disgusting arachnid monsters. Sarah, I'm going to need you to return those monsters back here so I can destroy them myself.
Karth, we're all angry. I reminded her. Zan's right. What's done is done, and as much as I'd love to hurt the Athenids just as much as you do, they're already gone.
What would bring them to the surface?
The horned Arkan snarled, and her russet eyes filled with angry tears.
What would make them decide to infiltrate the palace when no monsters other than the Shaddoll can enter this place?
You didn't mention that before. I frowned. What do you mean, no other monsters can enter? Is there some kind of barrier that keeps them away?
Monsters belonging to someone may come through the palace, but strays cannot.
Karth sniffled.
There's some sort of enchantment that keeps out feral beings, but apparently it isn't working as it's supposed to.
Did you cast the spell yourself? I asked her.
No.
The green-skinned Arkan shook her head.
It was made before I came here. I only noticed it in the time I occupied the castle.
Zan, did you know about the enchantment? I turned to the azure-winged goddess, but Zan shook her head as well.
No.
She answered.
I had no idea it existed, but it makes my inquiry from earlier that much more of a mystery. Something drew or forced the Athenids from the underground, but what? What would make them leave their natural habitat?
Do you think the moon entity may have done it?
Viopa wondered as she crossed her arms against her ample chest.
The shift has clearly affected the monster's abilities and strengths, so I would think it has some sort of bearing on their other natural behaviors, like nesting.
That's a really good point, I said. Not good for us, but it makes sense. The moon monster is affecting literally everything. I don't see how it wouldn't impact normal behaviors. However, that raises the question yet again. How would the Athenids be able to get past an enchantment?
Perhaps it isn't just the monsters,
Keela suggested quietly.
Maybe it's the entire shadowscape.
All eyes fell to the skeletal Arkan, and Keela's cheeks darkened. Of course, I agreed with the petite goddess. We had the thought before we even arrived. We had no idea if the moon's shift would do anything to this realm since the two are so closely intertwined. And here we have our answer. Things are clearly amiss. And as such, we need to go with our original plan and make sure we keep our eyes out for anything. The rules that once applied no longer seem to matter, and we can't afford to be ambushed again.
You're right. Sarah nodded at me. We do need to be careful. That run-in was a little too close for comfort, even with our combined powers. We have to stay sharp while we're here. So what do we do now?
Utuni raised a dark eyebrow as she nudged a shredded pile of pages with her foot.
Since this place is obviously a bust, we should move on, right? Maybe one of the books is hidden under all of this rubble, Miralee suggested in a small voice. Maybe under one of those stacks of ripped paper.
The jaguar goddess's face was strangely hopeful, and something about it made me want to at least explore the option. It's unlikely, but we could try to look anyway, I said, and then I peered around the room. Perhaps everyone could take a corner of the library and start to dig? I really don't think the books would have survived, but I've seen stranger things, so I don't want to completely discredit the idea.
Let's do it, Sarah nodded. I don't know how likely it is that we'll find anything, but let's make the attempt. Griff, Karth, what are we looking for?
The books on that particular shelf were bound in dark red leather, so if they're here, we should find them easily, I answered. If you think you've found something, shout it out.
Yes, master,
my Arkans replied in unison, and then we got to work. We spent what felt like hours digging through every last pile of shredded volumes, and by the time I finally took a break, my hands were black and blue from the sting of the Athenid's acidic mucus. At first, I'd attempted to coat myself in bullet bass armor to keep the saliva from touching my skin, but the effort made it hard to properly dig through the piles, so I gave up and went in barehanded. I borrowed the enhanced senses of my Vinghund, but even with my brilliant sight, I wasn't able to find a single text. The Athenids had torn this place to shreds, and whatever wasn't in the slime-coated piles was stuffed into their larger webs that hung from the empty shelves. The hopelessness of the situation made a lump form in my throat, and I had no idea what to do next. If anything, this library had been important to our mission, and I'd been certain that one of the secret volumes would contain our answers. Now, we would never know.
Master, I think this is a lost cause.
Utuni sighed as she cast aside a gooey scrap of black leather.
I haven't seen a single thing here.
Nor have I,
Karth admitted in a pained voice.
I checked over where the shelf was concealed, but no books remain. I haven't even seen a speck of red. The Athenids destroyed every last thing.
As much as I didn't want to admit the loss, the Arkans were right. Nothing here was salvageable, and I had to stop kidding myself otherwise. It hadn't hurt too much to attempt, aside from my burns, of course, but it was time to accept defeat and move on. Well, if there's nothing here, maybe there would be something hidden somewhere no one else would ever want to be? I suggested as I wiped my hands on my trousers. I know roaming the castle was the last resort, but I think we need to come to terms with the fact that this library is no more. The further we wait, the longer we're away from the human realm. And the last thing me or my women need is to lose another 9 months of time.
Is that how long had passed when you were here as Karth's prisoner?
Zan asked.
I prefer the term guest.
Karth mumbled to herself. Yeah. I ignored the horn darken and nodded at Zan. My women were pregnant, and when I came home, two of my children were already born. I have two more on the way, but even aside from them, I can't imagine the world getting any better 9 months later. Maker, there might not even be a world to return to after that much time.
Let's not bother ourselves with it right now, Sarah urged me in a softened tone. You'll only burden your mind further with those kind of thoughts.
You're right, I nodded, and I forced myself to take a breath. If this place predates the separation of the realms, would there be a secret chamber somewhere? A hidden door? A secret passage? A tower?
Might I suggest the dungeon?
Huna proposed with a raised eyebrow, and the effort against her burn mark made her wince slightly.
No one's been down there in centuries,
Karth pointed out as she rested her hand on her hip.
I know I certainly haven't, and unless one of you snuck down there when I wasn't paying attention, I'd say it's safe to assume no one else has.
I haven't.
Keela shook her head.
I'm usually the curious one, but I had no desire to go down there.
Nor did I,
Huna said, and the warrior goddess wrapped her arms around herself as if she had a sudden chill. Wait, are you guys afraid of this dungeon? I asked.
No.
The warrior goddess shook her head vigorously.
Of course not. Why would I have mentioned it if I was scared?
Don't lie to our master.
Mira Lee gave Huna a grin of mischievous delight.
You are scared.
Say that to me one more time, and I'll chop the end of your precious tail off with my sword.
Huna threatened the cat goddess with narrowed eyes.
Master!
Mira Lee clutched her plush tail and pulled it into her protectively.
Stop it! I growled at the pair. You're acting like children, and we don't have time for it right now.
Sorry.
Huna and Mira Lee muttered together. Thank you. I nodded at the pair, and then I addressed the group. Now, how do we get to this dungeon?
There's a passage behind the fireplace that leads there,
Zan answered me.
I discovered it when I first arrived at the palace, and something drew me toward the fireplace, but I didn't dare enter the dungeon entirely. I didn't have any reason to go down there, so I didn't bother checking it out. There's a strange aura about it that made me want to stay away.
I think we should check out this dungeon, I suggested, and we should probably go together. I know we knocked out all of those Athenids, but if one pack of monsters was able to take residence here, there might be more.
You're right, Griff,
Sarah agreed with me.
I think sticking together is our best plan. If there's an aura, should we exercise caution?
Fi wondered.
It could have some enchantments we don't know about that could get us into more trouble.
It's a risk we have to take. I shrugged. We knew this mission was going to be treacherous, but I can't return to Mistral empty-handed. It just isn't an option.
Then let's get out of here.
Zan agreed, and she held her hand out to me. I accepted it gratefully, and the Arkan helped me to my feet. Then I brushed off the last remnants of slime, and my face scrunched up. Ugh, I remarked as the goo fell to the ground and made a soft plopping noise against the marble.
Let me see your hands,
Zan instructed me, and then she pulled my hands in closer.
Look up.
I looked the Arkan in the eyes, and as her amethyst irises pulsed, I felt the pain of the sores and burns from the Athanid's saliva begin to fade until it was no longer present. Once I was sure it was gone, I broke eye contact with the beautiful goddess and offered a thankful smile. I appreciate it, I thanked her, but Zan waved me off.
It's what I do,
she said.
No thanks necessary. Now, anyone else with burn marks, step over here so I can remove them. We all need to start fresh and rejuvenate our powers, in case something is in fact amiss in the dungeon.
The other Arkan stepped up, and one by one they were healed by Zan's magic. Huna was the last one to be taken care of, but when it came to the burn on her face, Zan frowned.
This one is deeper than I thought,
the winged Arkan sighed.
I don't understand why it isn't healing up. Leave it for now,
Huna requested in a quiet voice.
You want it there?
Zan frowned at her sister.
No.
The wolf-eared Arkan shook her head, and her cheeks flushed until they were a deep rose color.
I mean, I don't know. I think it adds a bit of character.
Huna, please.
The goddess requested quietly.
I don't want it to fade just yet. And besides, it doesn't hurt too bad.
Zan considered it for a moment, and then shrugged.
Okay. But let me know if you change your mind. If we wait too long, it'll scar.
Huna nodded, and I was curious to know why she didn't want the burn removed, but I didn't want to press her. Maybe she would trust me with the reasoning in time, but for now, I would leave it alone. If everyone's good, I'd suggest we get moving, I proposed, and I gave Zan a sideward glance. Thank you for healing everyone, Zan.
Don't mention it,
the goddess insisted. And after one more moment of lingering, the Arkans and I left the library and headed back to the stairs. As we descended to the first floor, a lump rose up in my throat. I could only pray that the dungeon would give us answers. My women in all of Mistral were counting on me to learn more about the moon, and I couldn't let them down. There were too many lives at stake, and we couldn't possibly get the world back to normal without answers. I could feel Sarah's yellow eyes on me the entire way down, and I managed to muster up a reassuring smile for her, but I wasn't sure she was convinced. I knew she would press the subject later, but for now, we had more important matters to worry about. The Arkans and I reached the first floor entryway and made our way over to the elaborate fireplace that still glowed with Zan's blue flames. So, how do we open the passage? I wondered as I examined the smooth black marble around the fireplace. I didn't see a knob or a hinge, but then again, this was the Shadowscape. Not everything made sense around here.
Like this,
Zan replied, and she stepped forward and plunged her hand straight through the flames. My eyes nearly popped out of my head, but Zan didn't seem affected by the heat. She simply twisted her hand, and I heard a click like a key turning in a keyhole. Zan removed her arm from the fire and then turned back to us.
Everyone, step back.
We did as instructed, and then like magic, the fireplace swung open as if it were a door and revealed an entryway large enough for two or three people to enter side by side. The inside was pitch black, and no matter how much I squinted, I couldn't see a thing within the chamber. Wow. I breathed, and I stood there in amazement for a moment. I'd only ever heard of passages like this in stories, so it was incredibly odd to see it before my very eyes.
Hurry up, everyone.
Zan waved us over.
I don't know how long the entry is going to stay open.
Coming.
I nodded and hurried over to the entryway.
The other Arkans followed, and Sarah stepped over to me and positioned herself so our arms were up against each other.
Shall we?
Zan prompted us, and then we began to move down the tunnel. The passageway was incredibly cold, and the temperature continued to plummet the further we moved. The tunnel seemed to have a slight slant to it. Not enough to make it hard to move, but enough to indicate that we were headed down below the first floor. Luckily for us, Zan's wings gave off enough of a glow that we could navigate without issue, but I found myself missing the normal sunlight back home. The shadowscape was always so dreary, and it made me miss the warmth of the sunshine. Not that Mistral was particularly warm right now. A shiver ran down my spine, and then I felt Sarah's arm around my waist.
Are you okay?
She asked me quietly as her warm body pressed against mine.
You seem a little off today.
The whole business with the Athenids bothered me more than I want to admit, I replied to my lover. I was really hoping we could just get in and get out, you know? But that was foolish of me. Things are never easy here, and I was dumb to think otherwise.
You aren't dumb,
Sarah insisted in a reassuring tone.
You're hopeful, which is an admirable quality in our current climate. I know how much you want to banish the moon entity. I do too. I want us to move on from this horrid occurrence and focus on raising our child.
Saving the realm is also a priority, I pointed out to the dark-winged Arkan. Now that I'm officially a guardian, I have to take everyone else into account as well.
That too,
she allowed.
We shall accomplish it together, my love, and restore the world to what it once was. I swear, you're the Beastmaker. If anyone can defeat an unheard-of evil, it's you.
I just hope I'm not the evil one, I remarked. Sometimes I wonder if everything that goes wrong is my fault, whether I intend it or otherwise.
We know you aren't,
Zan spoke up.
Besides, your headmaster and the Grand Mage wouldn't have bestowed the greatest honor in your realm upon you if they thought you were evil.
I didn't exactly mention impregnating Sarah to them, I said quietly. I think it may impact how they feel if I end up telling them. When I end up telling them, I should say.
There's nothing they could do about it anyway,
Utuni pointed out.
What's done is done. Sarah is pregnant with your child, and short of murdering said child, there really isn't any way to take it back. Don't you dare say that!
Sarah hissed at the snake goddess, and her hands flew protectively to her flat stomach.
I meant it hypothetically.
Utuni looked over her shoulder and rolled her eyes.
No one's going to murder your baby, Sarah. At least not while it's a child, anyway. Who knows how it will be received once it's fully grown?
That's enough baby talk for now, I decided. I don't want to think about it anymore. I just want to worry about getting to this dungeon and looking for anything that can help us.
Do you think the entity will require a spell to be banished?
Viopa wondered in a thoughtful tone.
If so, it's going to require quite a bit of magic,
Keela remarked.
Something with that powerful of an influence doesn't just disappear from a few words. I should venture to guess its defeat is going to require both an immense amount of power and some sort of sacrifice.
We all halted in place and stared at the skeletal Arkan with odd expressions. A sacrifice? I repeated back to make sure I heard her right. What makes you say something like that?
Most magic requires sacrifice,
Keela replied as if it should have been obvious.
Blood, life force, the magic needs to be infused with devotion, so it knows your intent is serious.
You speak of mana like it's a deity, I remarked.
Mana is life, is it not?
The petite goddess flashed me a brilliant smile.
My magic ability is associated with death, but life and death are too tightly wound to ignore. This is all getting too philosophical for my liking.
Karth groaned.
Let's pray the sacrifice is merely blood. I don't think I could handle the emotional weight of a stronger offering.
We lapsed into silence for a while as we continued on into the dark. Maker, how long is this tunnel? I wondered.
It's long,
Zan remarked.
But if it's any consolation, I think we're almost there.
Good, I replied simply. The rest of the walk continued on in silence, and I allowed my mind to drift off to a calmer state, at least for a while. It was difficult to keep myself from growing worried, but I managed to focus on my breathing and the feeling of Sarah's soft skin against me.
I think we're here,
Zan announced, and I snapped out of my haze and straightened my shoulders. Sure enough, there was another entryway in front of us, and judging by the rush of cool air, we were about to enter a chamber.
Finally,
Viopa sighed, and the other Arkans made similar sounds of agreement. For all of their arguing, I was glad they could find moments to get along, even if it was just to complain. We stepped into the chamber, and another chill ran down my spine as I tried to see in the darkness. The only light came from the low glow of Zan's azure flame wings, and even they did little to illuminate the space. Suddenly, I heard a crunching sound beneath my boot, and my breath caught in my throat. What the fuck was that? Zan, could you give us a little light? I requested.
Sure,
the Arkan called out, and I saw her wings beat in the air as she ascended. She flew to one wall, and after she paused in midair, a torch suddenly lit up with warm flame. The umber-skinned goddess repeated this a few more times, and soon the chamber was lit enough to see our surroundings. I looked down, and my stomach turned, as I finally caught sight of what I stepped on. The stone floor was littered with skeletons and errant bones from creatures I couldn't even identify. Among the mess, I spied skulls, arms, tails, and hands, which told me the bones had once belonged to both man and monster. Chains were littered around us, and I noticed more than one set of shackles were built into the stone floor. The bone beneath my foot had turned to dust, so the owner had to have been here for a while. Some of these bones are human, I remarked in awe. But how did humans get to this palace?
You aren't the first mortal to set foot in the castle,
Zan replied in a hushed tone.
So many teams of mages have come here into the Shadowscape over the years. Odds are they had to have made it down here somehow.
The skull I stepped on turned to dust, which tells me that they're even older than that, I observed. Whoever ended up down here did so a long time ago, long before any of us were alive.
Who would have brought them down here?
Sarah wondered.
An Arkan?
I would think the mysterious owner of the castle, I theorized, and I tilted my head to the side as I considered the scenario. How had humans made it down here? Were they just poor souls who'd ended up at the wrong place at the wrong time? Or had they been brought here by the Arkans who had existed before my women? Either way, whoever ended up down in this dismal dungeon had suffered a long, excruciating death. Without the light of the torches, this place was a pitch-black hole devoid of warmth. The prisoners would have died cold and alone in the filth of the Shadowscape, without anyone knowing where they were. I squatted down to examine the bones a little closer, and as I took one of them into my hand, my mind spun out a bit. The humans who'd been bound to the stone floor had probably spent hours screaming for their teammates to find them, only to find their efforts were fruitless. They were in a place where no one could save them, a place where no one would ever see them again. It was tragic, and I couldn't imagine dying like that. I'd rather be flayed alive by monsters than die alone as these mages had.
Griff?
Sarah prompted me.
Are you okay?
I'm fine, I replied, and I rose to my feet. No sense in being morose over something that had happened centuries before I was born. My sadness wouldn't bring these people back, no matter how much I wished it would.
I don't think we're going to find any books down here, Utuni remarked as she carefully stepped over a small pile of bones. There's nothing here but dirt and remains.
Sorry, Griff,
Zan apologized.
I really thought...
I shook my head. There still might be something down here. We just have to look. This is clearly one of the oldest parts of the castle. I know it's gross, but we need to treat this place like we did the library and search every last corner. I was about to assign the Arkans when I noticed Mira Lee was facing the opposite direction as the rest of us, The fur of her jet-black tail was bristled and stuck up in alarm, and I could sense her fear through our bond. The goddess stood frozen in place, slack-jawed as her hand raised up slowly. "Miralee?" I prompted her.
"Griff,"
she whispered.
"Look."
I turned to face the direction she was pointing, and once I saw the sight that had made the goddess stiffen, my jaw dropped involuntarily. A pair of intact human skeletons were shackled to the ground, their jaws dropped in horror as if they'd died screaming. Each of their wrists had been secured to the stone floor, except for the skeleton on the right, whose hand was free and rested above it on the wall. I followed the direction of where the hand was reaching, and suddenly I felt my entire body grow cold. Above the skeletons was a bright, violent smear of brown that looked like dried blood. It dripped down from the wall to the floor, and bile rose up in my throat.
"Oh my,"
Keela whispered behind me, and it was then that I realized the blood spelled out a word. Azraneath.